all things New Orleans Saints.
This is Who Dat Discussion.
Who Dat? Who Dat? Who Dat? Who Dat? Who Dat say they gonna be them Saints?
Powered by Overtime Media.
Hello and welcome into another edition of the Who Dat Discussion. As always, my name is Andrew, and we are recording from the Vivid Seats studio. Use the promo code OVERTIME in the Vivid Seats mobile app to save up to $100 on all ticket purchases. So, wow, just what a game the Saints played last night against the Texans. They end up winning this one 30-28 on the leg of Will Lutz, 58-yard field goal for the win. Just wow, what a way to start the season. That's really all you can say. A crazy last minute, three scoring drives and two lead changes in the final 50 seconds. So just wow, that's all you really can say there, because it's a crazy game, crazy way to start off the season. But the Saints to get the victory, and that's really all you can say at the end of this. Obviously, we're going to go really deep into this game. We're going to obviously go over some notes, as we always do. Then we're going to talk about our intriguing matchups coming into the game, see how those matchups played out, and then we'll finish with our group-by-group recap and grade each group here, going from quarterback all the way to like special teams and coaching. So it's going to obviously be a fun episode. The Saints obviously to get the win, and that's obviously going to make it a fun episode, but there are obviously a lot of things to clean up here, and by a lot of people. It wasn't just obviously the Breeze pick was big, and obviously the refs have to clean up some things that the Saints almost lost this game because of some questionable calls. Yeah, that happened for sure, but the Saints stepped up, got the victory, and that's really all that matters. I think the Saints teams in the past may have not won that game. Even last year's team, I don't know if they would have won that game. It's actually pretty crazy because, I mean, you come down, you're down by a point going into 37 seconds, and Breeze just marches down the field. And I kind of knew like they would have a shot at it. People were saying, oh, that's the over, they lost. And I was just like, no, you got to obviously respect Drew Brees in that such a scenario. And the Texans didn't. So that's really what's going to happen. They got burned. They played back in coverage, which you really can't do against Brees, because he'll just go down the middle of the field, take what you give him. And really all you need when you start at the 25, you need 35 yards. So that's three plays. If you get three plays of 15, you're in field goal range. So That's kind of what the Saints did here, and it was just enough time to get Will Lutz into the game, and he smashed that. We would have won him from like 61, 62. It was a really nice kick, and that's really, he made up for the missed field goal to be in the first half, so that's kind of just really what it is there. So really good job by the Saints to win this game. Obviously, they had a lot of missed opportunities early, but the second half they got going, so we're going to obviously get into that as well. But I think we are going to start off with some notes here, as the Saints did win their first opener in 5 years, which is pretty crazy. The last time they did it was in 2013 at the Dome. So, look, obviously, it's a great start when you can get off to a win. That's obviously very, very good. We want to know going into a few tough games after this. So it was really big to get the victory. This was a really tough game. I think we all knew that. Texans were a playoff team. They're coming in 11-2 in their last 13 regular season games, I should say. So they were coming in with something to play for. They won their division last year. So this is a playoff team through and through, and the Saints obviously were able to defeat them. I know it was a home game and they should have won that game, but it's still a really big victory there. It was the first time Breeze threw a pick in the red zone since 2017, and that kind of started off three straight drives where the Saints couldn't convert in the red zone, which was kind of tough. They threw the pick, then they only converted the field goal, and look, when you come up to that and then they missed the field goal, which was in the red zone, but they couldn't convert, let's just say, because the Saints could have been up at halftime. They're down 14-3. I think they could have been up like 17-14, or even it could even been up by even more, but this is kind of what it was there. They weren't able to get in the red zone and score points, and or score touchdowns, I should say, because that was obviously a big point of the game. It wouldn't even have been a heroic drive by Drew Brees at the end if it wasn't for him throwing the pick. They could have put up a field goal right there, and that would have been that. So it always comes, you know, points in the red zone, it's obviously always huge, and the Saints were able to pull this one out, but you can't do that. And it almost came back to bite the Saints. And that's what we would have been talking about if the Saints did lose. And obviously, we would have been talking about the defense, who still has those troubles in 2 minutes. But we will get to that just a little later. But that's kind of what it is there. There was a missed opportunity by Breeze, which is a kind of mistake he doesn't make. Really, after that, he played a great game. I'm not going to say Brees played a bad game. He played very, very good, in my opinion. It was vintage Drew Brees, especially at the end. But, look, that's just a mistake that just can't happen. The Saints did have six sacks without their second and, I guess, third best pass rusher here, without Onyemata and Rankins here. They were able to still generate six sacks by the new-look Texans offensive line, and didn't even seem to matter. Because, look, there was some nice play calling by Dennis Allen with the stunts. I think that was really impressive there. Troy Hendrickson was winning off the edge. That's good play there. Cameron Jordan had a sack, and then they brought a few blitzes to get some pressure here. So that was obviously really big, and the Saints didn't give up any sacks throughout their offensive line. Offensive line played absolutely amazing. It was the first time J.J. Watt didn't record a QB hit, QB hurry, or like a sack or a tackle in any game since 2015. So obviously, really good job by Ryan Ramczyk to stop J.J. Watt. And the rest of the Saints offensive line really played well. Eric McCoy played very well. They were able to open up the run game and the pass game. So they played a really marvelous game here. I think there's nothing else you can say about that. Ted Ginn and Mike Thomas both went over 100 yards. That was obviously huge. We know Kamara and Mike Thomas are going to be the two culprits, the main culprits. And then the Saints, to win games, to be very successful on offense, to me, they need that a third player. A lot of people thought it was going to be Jared Cook, and the whole season, that's what I thought it was going to be. But no, it was Ted Ginn, who goes over 100 yards, made some really clutch catches, there on the last drive, because without Ted Ginn, I don't think they win this game. So he made a few really nice catches, really sure-handed, and his veteran nature really helped the Saints, especially on that last drive going right down and communicating with Brees, because they were communicating at the line of scrimmage with 10 seconds. With the last play of the game, with 6 seconds, they were still communicating, and that's just what you want to see. So great job by those two veterans there. That's just what you really want to see. Will Lutz, career-long field goal of 58 yards, comes in game-winning fashion. Huge for the Saints, and obviously to just take that game and be able to win it like that is really, really big, because coming in, especially with the Texans scoring like that, it just felt so much like those old Saints teams, the Minnesota Miracle, all that. It looked like the Saints were going to get let down again. And they were able to just sweep this one up and win it, especially with the penalty. That was a penalty, wasn't a penalty. I don't think it was a penalty, but when he misses the extra point. And I felt like Brees was going to do it. I felt like he was going to get the opportunity. I thought Will Lutz was going to get the opportunity to win. Will Lutz even said it. He said, I'm going to get the opportunity to win this game. And it ended up coming true. So that's just what I felt going into that drive. I knew Drew Brees would give this team a shot, and he did. So that's just really great job by Brees. That's really all you can say there. The Saints did win the first down yards penalty battles tonight, so that's obviously really big. They tied the turnover battle, so really, that's just kind of what it was. They just squeaked everything out. All these categories, they didn't win by much, but they won by enough to obviously win the game. So that's just really what it was there. So now let's get into our intriguing matchups of the game. But before we do, we're going to take a quick break. You are listening to the Who Dat Discussion Podcast.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Welcome back into the Who Dat Discussion. And now we are going to talk about our intriguing matchups in this Saints-Texans game. And we're going to start with Ryan Ramczyk versus J.J. Watt and how the Saints offensive line, because the Houston Texans defensive line is great, so how did the Saints offensive line hold? And we specifically looked at J.J. Watt versus Ramczyk, and Ramczyk played better than I even expected him to play. And I had some lofty goals for him in this game, and he broke through the ceiling of them. He stopped J.J. Watt in his tracks completely. No sacks from Watt, no hurries, just one holding penalty. To me, he played a perfect game, or very close to perfect game. One holding penalty by Ramczyk, and that's it. And he went one-on-one with J.J. Watt for a lot of the game. Yes, there were stunts that were done by the Saints to try to help that with double teams and kind of tight end blocking, helping that. But mostly, it was just Ramczyk. So you got to give him a lot of credit there. He was able to have good technique and able to stop J.J. Watt and all the great stuff that he does. You didn't hear J.J. Watt's name called once. You heard a lot of Whitney Mercilus and those guys, but you heard nothing from J.J. Watt. So you got to give it off to Ramczyk here, because he played like the all-pro that he is. And he played like he was one of the best right tackles in the league by far. And that's just really big. When you have Terron Armstead and Ramczyk playing, it's really tough for these guys to get pressure off the end. And we saw tonight, they weren't really able to do it. Breeze obviously didn't get sacked. So that was just really, really good stuff by the Saints. And you got to give them a lot of credit being able to stop that really good Texans D line that was ranked in the top 10 last year. So that was just a really good job there. Now we are going to look at Jared Cook, who we kind of went over him versus their secondary, especially because they didn't have a very good secondary. So we want to see if Jared Cook were able to have a big game. He doesn't have the big game, but Ginn does. And Ginn is the one that takes over in this one. Ginn made catch after catch after catch, big catches. Jared Cook only made two catches. One was on third down, one was a deep throw. So you got to give him that. But overall, Cook really was a non-factor in this game. That doesn't mean he played bad, but it just felt like he was a little of a non-factor. I wouldn't say that he was like the star of the show, but he didn't need to be, especially when Ted Ginn's playing like that. That is just good for the Saints to have even more weapons. They have a lot of weapons, and they came out a lot of three wide receiver sets, the Saints. So it was really, looking at it, you had four or five receivers really on passing plays. You had obviously Kamara in the backfield, then you had Mike Thomas, Traquan, and Ginn, and then you had Cook on the tight end outside. They usually flexed him out. So that was kind of what it was a lot of the time for the Saints. So when looking at it, it could have been either Ginn or Cook. We were just looking at Cook because I thought Cook was going to be the guy. He wasn't. It was Ginn. So his veteran nature really helps the Saints. And I think the Saints don't win this game without Ted Ginn. He made some really nice catches that were really clutch that I don't think a lot of other second receivers can make. So to me, that was just really good there. And then looking at DeAndre Hopkins versus Marshawn Lattimore was a huge matchup in this game. They went at it. And I know Hopkins ends up with 8 catches, 111 yards, and 2 TDs, which doesn't look good for Lattimore on the screen, but he was targeted a lot. And obviously Watson's going to try to get him the ball. And they fought. They fought at it. And I think Lattimore had some really nice breakups in this game. I thought he was able to stay tough. He got Hopkins frustrated a lot. Now, Hopkins obviously had a big game, but I don't know. It was an even match. It was blow for blow. And it was about 50-50 when you look back onto it. Obviously, two of those catches have to be touchdowns, and one of them was a big throw. So that kind of is what it is. And a lot of these throws against Lattimore were in zone, too. So it wasn't really on Lattimore. It was on other guys, too. So that's just really kind of what it was for the Saints, because I don't think Hopkins played that amazing like maybe some people would think. He did get 13 targets, and some of those catches were in zone. So it's kind of tough when you're looking at it, who goes where. And then a few plays, like that last play, should have got help over the top, didn't get help over the top, and then Hopkins is able to get behind the secondary and make a big catch. Hopkins is one of the best receivers in this game. We all know that. So is it really that bad that Lattimore gave up 8 catches, 111 yards? No, to me they fought. They played really good, and I think the Saints defense played fine. I know they gave up 28 points, which is a lot of points, but to me they were just really bad on the red zone. Besides the red zone, the Saints, I think they did a good job on defense. I'm not going to say they were that bad. And up the middle, they were gashed a lot, especially by Carlos Hyde in there, who had a very, very good game. He had 10 carries for 83 yards. That just can't happen. But when looking at it, overall, I think this defense did play good, especially the secondary and the cornerbacks. Besides P.J. Williams, he played very, very bad. But overall, I think they played fine, especially for a first game, because usually the Saints get gashed the first game of the season in any year. So this was, I think, an upgrade over those, and it was enough for the Saints to win the game. We knew it was going to be high scoring, and to me, it was the team that hit 30 was going to win. That happened to be the Saints in this one, so that was very good there. Then just to put a few more kind of intriguing matchups throughout the game was going on. Trey Hendrickson stepped up in this one, him versus Tunsil. It was really supposed to be Davenport versus Tunsil, there. But when looking at it, I think that Trey Hendrickson and Davenport played very, very well. I think Trey Hendrickson played a top-level game here, especially for what his role is. I think he played top-level. Davenport, to me, played so-so. He basically played to where he was last year, and that's not obviously where you want to be. You want him to be better. So that's just not what we saw. Trey Hendrickson, I think, did take the third-year jump. He had two sacks in this one, and I think that he should be challenging Davenport for some snaps here. I think he is going to be challenging Davenport for some sacks. When when Hendrickson got his sack, his main sack off the edge, like it was the real, the other one was a NASCAR package, but this one was just a real sack where he just went off the edge one-on-one against Tunsil, and that was when Davenport wasn't in the game. So to me, that was just a really good job by Hendrickson to step up. I think he played amazing, and he was able to win when his number was called. So that was, to me, really good. And then also the Saints, I did want to talk about the matchup in the inside, because I did think that Malcolm Brown did play very well. He plugged up his hole, but Shai Tuttle and Taylor Stallworth were not able to do that. And I know both these guys are undrafted free agents, and for me, overall, you can't really fault them. To me, they did a good enough job for the Saints to win. And they're triple, quadruple backups here, so it's hard to expect a lot from them. But they're in this game, and they got to be able to step up, and they weren't. So obviously, I think this will change once you have Onyemata come back and you have Edwards. So really, I think overall, it was a good job by the Texans to exploit the Saints. But I think it wasn't enough for the Saints to lose this game, especially in the second half. They did a much better job against the run in the second half than they did against the first half. And also, you got to give it on Cameron Jordan, who lost contain a few times. So overall, I think that's kind of what you're looking at from the up-the-middle defense. It wasn't very good. And also, linebackers didn't play that good either today. So I do think the Saints have some work to do on defense, and I think they have some work to do on offense. But overall, it was a good win, and it was a good way to start the season off. I think they won enough matchups to win the game. So that's just what I feel there. So before we get into our group-by-group recap, we are going to take a quick break. You are listening to the Who Dat Discussion Podcast. Welcome back into the Who Dat Discussion, and now we are going to get to our group-by-group recap. So first, we are going to start our grading off with the quarterbacks in Drew Brees, and to me, I'm going to give him an A-. He did, and the only reason I'm giving an A-, not an A or an A+, was that red zone pick, I should say, because it wasn't quite in the end zone. And that pick was, look, I don't think it was a bad read, I think it was a bad throw. That's just kind of what it was. I saw what he was trying to do, and I was listening to Deuce Windham last night, and he said the same thing. He wanted to loft it, and he threw a line drive. That can't happen. You know, obviously, that was a good play by the Texans, and they were able to come in there and also convert on that for a touchdown, so that's obviously a good job. But overall, when looking at it here, it was Whitney Merciless with a pick, who I think had a great game. Overall, Breeze, to me, that was just, it's a play that you can't happen. And I don't care how good you are or how good you play the rest of the game, he almost lost the Saints the game with that throw. So that's just the way it is. He was able to make up for it, and that final drive, look, a lot of quarterbacks don't do that final drive that Breeze did, so to me it's kind of a wash. But I'm going to give him an A- just because that pick is going to bring him down. But anything other than that, he played really well. I mean, he was 32 from 43, 370 yards, two touchdowns, a pick. That's kind of what you're looking at for Drew Brees just without the pick. He had a 78.2 QBR and a 105.8 quarterback rating. So overall, he did play a very good game. And you're looking at those last few drives and you're saying this is what the Saints should be. Especially in the second half, they scored 27 points. I'm sorry there. So when looking at it, it was just a really, really good second half. And he was just surgical. You're looking at it. I'm just going to go through some of these drives in the second half. He went to Ginn for 11 yards, then he went to Kamara for 41 yards, and then the Murray run. Then the next drive, he goes for Kamara for 11, Kamara for 11. Then he goes to Taysom Hill. Then he goes to Ted Ginn. Then he goes to Ted Ginn again. Then he goes to Mike Thomas. Then he goes to Ginn for, Hill for the touchdown. And that was obviously really big. Then on when they got the short field, he was very quick. He went to Thomas. Then he went to Kamara. And then he threw it to Tre'Quan Smith, and that was a really nice throw. He was able to get out of the pocket, roll out, and throw really a precision pass to Tre'Quan there. And then even that field goal drive, he throws a very ballsy deep throw to Ted Ginn. That's a really tough throw by Breeze, and you think that he can't throw the deep ball anymore. He threw 41 yards down the field to Ted Ginn in a 3rd-and-1. That was such a nice, and you know what? At that point, I thought the Saints won the game, and I thought it was over, and that was a huge play to Ted Ginn. I just think that that shows his arm strength's fine. And you want to talk about he had a few bad throws in this game, fine. I see 3 bad throws. I was kind of counting throughout the game. Besides that, I think he played a wonderful game. One of his throws got tipped. He threw behind Michael Thomas once. But besides, and obviously the pick. But besides that, really, he did not have throw any other really bad throws. So that, I think, was big there. And then that final drive, he just goes surgical down the field. He goes, this is all no huddle. He's going to Ted Ginn, then he spikes it. Then he goes to Mike Thomas, then he spikes it. Then he goes to Ted Ginn again, and then they call the timeout, and then the field goal. Boom, game. And that's just kind of what you're looking at there. He had great time management and clock management during that drive, and overall, he played a very surgical game. First half was tough. He did not play a good first half. He wasn't able to convert in the red zone, which is why the Saints almost lost this game, really. But overall, he played a good game, and that's kind of what you want to see from Drew Brees throughout the season. To me, it was vintage Drew Brees here, and that's why I'm going to give him an A-. Wasn't the best performance I ever saw from him, but it was a sure damn good one. So that was very good there. Then looking at these skill position players, I'm going to give him an A because so many guys played well in this game. Kamara, obviously, was really good. Latavius Murray had a 7.2 average here, had a touchdown. That was big. Mike Thomas, 10 catches, 123 yards. That's huge. Ted Ginn, as we said, 7 catches, over 100 yards with 101 there. Then you had Jared Cook, 2 for 37. And then Tre'Quan Smith comes in with a touchdown. And then Taysom Hill even gets a touchdown. This team, they spread it around. And a lot of guys had some really big games for the Saints. So overall, that's kind of just what you want to see from the Saints and kind of what you want to see throughout the rest of the year. You want to see these guys come up, play a sound game, spread the ball out, have a lot of good players, make some big plays. And that's kind of just what you wanted. And I think these skill position players played great. They weren't just relying on Kamara and Thomas, even though they were big contributors. They weren't the only players. They didn't catch touchdowns in this game, or they didn't run in for touchdowns in this game. You had Murray get a touchdown, Tre'Quan Smith, and then also Taysom Hill. So overall, that's just what you want to see from the Saints. I think that was really big there. And then also moving over to the O-line, they played amazing. They get an A+ because they played perfect. Perfect. I mean, really, I think there was one sack. I think I said none before. There was no sacks by J.J. Watt. I think there was one sack by Merciless. But besides that, I mean, when you're looking at it, that was really the game. Yeah, it was Merciless. That was really everything. They played an outstanding game. Obviously, it starts with Ramczyk, who played great against Watt. I think Armstead did fine against Merciless. Wasn't his best game, wasn't his worst. Walford did get hit the pocket pushed back a few times. So that wasn't good, but Breeze was able to make some plays from it. I think Eric McCoy did play very, very well, good in this game, there, and he was able to do a good job, especially against the run. He did a great job, was able to seal up some holes inside, and the Saints ran the ball inside with ease, so that was obviously really big. Moving over to Pete, we didn't hear his name called, so that's a good thing. Really, that's kind of what it is. To me, he used pretty good technique is what I can see there, and he was able to patch up some run holes and do a good job there. And then finally here, I think that they just controlled the whole line. And when you control the line of scrimmage, you control the pace of play. That's kind of what you want an offensive line to do, and they were able to do that with ease. And I think, look, the Texans are a great defensive line. And now going into next week, you're playing another pretty good line with the Rams, who I think got worse because they lost Sue. And I don't think Clay Matthews will be a problem for any of these teams. So really, I think their line got worse. And I think the Texans are a better defensive line than the Rams. So I'm expecting more of the same. They're going to have to blitz more. But overall here, I do like what the Saints did. And I do think that they're going to put a lot of teams in tough situations if the offensive line is able to play that good and at that level every week. That's just going to be very hard to beat, and I think all the NFL knows that. Moving over to the D-line, I'm going to give these guys a B+, because I think they did great against the pass, especially against and get to get pressure and definitely convert on some blitzes. When you have 6 sacks, you're doing something right. I think we all can agree on that. You had sacks on the D-line. I won't say the linebacker sacks because we had a few of those too. On the D-line, you had 1 by Cameron Jordan, 2 by Trey Hendrickson, as we said, 0.5 sack from Malcolm Brown, 0.5 sack from Shai Tuttle. So that was really big there. And then you had a few sacks by, you had 1 sack by AJ Klein and 1 sack by PJ Williams, a few sacks that weren't by the defensive line. But besides that, you had some really nice plays by these guys, and they were able to make an impact. Trey Hendrickson made a huge impact on this game, put his mark onto this game. Trey Anderson looks like a different player. He looks definitely more technical. He, to me, looks like more of a presence. So that's really big, and he looks like he's bothering the defensive lines, and I think offensive line. And I think he's making a presence here. So that's obviously really big. And then Cameron Jordan, to me, played okay. I think, look, he did good against the pass, bad against the run. He lost contained a few times, which is unlike Cam Jordan. So he made some really nice plays, but lost contained on a few. So that was not that good. I'd probably give him a B+ grade if I was grading it. And then looking at Davenport, I guess you give him a B-. He didn't do anything special. And that's just kind of what it is there. It's kind of what I expected, like what I didn't want to see, but I expected it. And that was just kind of mediocre play here. It wasn't awful, but it was not good by any standards. No sacks again. And he only does one thing. He just does the bull rush, which works sometimes, and then it doesn't work other times. And you can't do that. You can't just bull rush an NFL offensive lineman. You're not going to win. And I hate to break it to him, but he's going to have to learn more technical moves. He's going to have to be better than just athletically sound. That was good for your first year, but now you have a year tape on you, and you got to come in and you got to play better. So I think he could play better. I think he's definitely going to get a lot of chances. I think he's going to keep on starting, but I do definitely want to see more from Davenport. Looking at Malcolm Brown, I thought he played a really good game, got the 0.5 sack, which was really nice. He was able to get pressure, but also he was able to stop the run. So I think he did a very good job. Shai Tuttle, as I said, and Taylor Stallworth, look, to me, they were up and down the whole game, kind of what I expected. You definitely see why they made this roster, and they're going to keep on, you know, doing what they're doing. But Taylor Stallworth, we know, is more of a 1-tech than a 3-tech. So that was, he was put into a spot he normally doesn't play in the first place. And Shai Tuttle's an undrafted free agent who's now starting for, you know, Monday Night Football. It's tough, and I know it is. And to me, he played, for circumstances, he played fine. But going into now future weeks, you want to see more from that position, because if they can't stop the run, there is going to be problems for this team. I think we all know that. So they just got to bear down on it, fix it this week, and stop Gurley and Malcolm Brown next week. So I think that's going to be really big in that game. I think we'll be talking about it a lot in our preview episode, which will probably come out Thursday or Friday for the 1-0 Saints and the 1-0 Rams. That's going to be a fun game, as we all know it is. But we're not here to preview that game. We're here to recap this Texan game, and we'll keep on doing it by moving over to our linebackers. And again, I thought this linebacking group was ready to go. Thought they were ready to be a top 10 group, and they didn't show that today. Obviously, they weren't able to contain their own. We all know that. To me, DeMario Davis had some good plays, had some bad plays, and it's usually just all good plays and all solid play. It wasn't that today. He miscontained a few times, missed a few tackles. That's not what you want to see. I thought Andalone played very good, but he still is kind of was lacking in the snap count because of his injury in the preseason. They were just still probably working him up to that. So he played good, but in a limited number of snaps. And then you're looking at AJ Klein, who didn't really have a good game as well. So overall, I'm not going to say that these guys played bad. I'm going to give them a B-. It's not like they played bad. It's not like they played in the C range, but they didn't play their best game by no means. And I was expecting more from this group. I was expecting to give this group an A- or something. And they looked like that in the first few drives, but that stopped quickly. When the Saints, when Breeze threw that pick, the momentum switched to the Texans, and the Texans, they got most of their points in that span. They scored 14 of their 28 points in that span. Second half, they scored 7-7, but I don't know, I feel like the final drive is just, I'm not going to wash it out like it didn't count, but when looking at it besides that drive, I think they played fine. They only gave up, I mean, they did give up 4 touchdown drives, which is never good, but gotta take out that last drive and you get better play. And we will obviously be talking about that debacle of a final drive for the Saints defense, so obviously we're going to get into that, and obviously the Saints defense bailed them out. We'll get to that right now with the secondary. So I'm going to give the secondary a B-. they battled, and that's a really tough group there. And looking at their stats here, you had DeAndre Hopkins, who I think Lattimore battled with 31 over his stats. He had a good game, but I think Lattimore did too. They were blow for blow. They both played a very good game, and that was just strength on strength. I think both players made some plays. The Saints were able to get a pick on a ball intended for DeAndre Hopkins, and they got 15 yards. They got him angry. They got him rattled a little bit, so I thought that was good by the Saints secondary. Then you had Will Fuller for 2 catches, 69 yards. Kenny Stills had 3 catches, 37 yards, and then really nothing after that. So really, I think they played fine. But now, look, they have a B-minus right now. If they ended up stopping the Texans, maybe they got a pick off Watson, there, and they would have won the game, the 27-21. I think we would put them at a B-plus range, but they didn't do that. They let the Texans go right down the field in 2 plays and score a touchdown. So I don't know what's up. They're not playing when, for some reason, when they get to these points where they got to not give up a touchdown, they never come through, or they haven't been coming through. Look, first of all, you got to play more zone. That's the reason. And you need to play over the top. You got to protect the deep ball. The Saints didn't do either on both of those plays. You had Marcus Williams. I don't know if it was a misassignment by Williams or just a play-calling issue with Dennis Allen. I mean, you need to have either Bell or Williams back there, or C.J. Gardner-Johnson. They got to be back there. It just got to happen. So that, I think, is going to be really important going into the season, because it wasn't good. And you never leave P.J. Williams going deep down the middle of the field. I think everybody knows that. He does not do well in deep plays. So why is he out there, and why isn't he given help even if he is out there? I know it was in the slot, so he's got to be out there, him or P-Rob, and then you got to give help to him. And then going over the top to DeAndre Hopkins, you can't let DeAndre Hopkins make that play. And you gotta always, especially when it's a passing situation, they were blitzing off the edge, which they do that Von Bell blitz a lot. They do, especially late in games. It worked. It worked against the Panthers in the 2017, their wild card game. It definitely worked. So I think that was really good. But when looking at it, it hurts the Saints more often. Does it help them? The Minnesota Miracle, they were blitzing. They were blitzing here. They, in that drive against the end of the Rams game, I mean, didn't lose the Saints game, but when that game got going, they were able to kind of slow down that Saints blitz. So that was obviously big for that game. And when looking at it, that it's risky. It's so risky bringing blitz at the end of the game when you know they're passing. Get there with 4 guys. I'm fine with bringing the 4-man blitz, but when you bring that 5th, 6 guys like it was on that play, these one-on-one scenarios, especially with the Saints cornerbacks, look, I think Lattimore is great, and then I think Eli Apple's solid. But when you're looking at beyond that, number one, they're not the fastest guys. So when looking at it, they're going to need help, especially in the end of the game. I even rather, better than blitz 6, I'd rather only blitz 3. Look, I don't like blitzing 3. It's not what I like to do. I like to blitz 4, but I'd rather blitz 3 than, or, you know, have 3 go to the quarterback than 6 go to the quarterback, especially in that scenario. It's just too easy. If you pick up the blitz, they're done. And when you have no timeouts, let them march down the field. And then, you know, at the end of the game, you can shrink down. But you can't let those big plays happen at the end of the game. That's got to stop. And if Dennis Allen's going to keep on doing that, it's going to be tough to justify him to be in this position late in games. Because if the Saints keep on getting burned late in games, I'm not going to say you got to fire him, because they have been playing very good, especially as the season goes on. But they have burned too much at the end of the games. They give up leads way too much. And they shouldn't, because they were playing, they played good up to the point, and then with a minute left or 2 minutes left or 30 seconds, they just implode on themselves. And you just can't let that happen. That's so integral. So enough on that, but it's got to stop. And I know the Saints ones are all happy, so it doesn't matter. But you got to get that corrected for next week and for the weeks on coming, because that could be a lot of wins and losses that are just balancing in the, you know, in the system here. You know, obviously, the Saints were able to get enough time to score here in this game. Maybe the next game they don't. So that's just kind of what I'm thinking about here. And the Saints have to close games, especially in the playoffs. That's going to be even most important. You got to be able to close out games when you have the lead late. And fuck, they didn't. Then they ended up coming back and winning. So it is what it is here. I feel like the Saints always play these crazy games. And that did continue into week one of 2019. And then special teams and coaching, I'm going to give an A- here. Special teams, you had some really high highs and some low lows. You had one missed field goal by Lutz, but it was a 56-yarder. That's tough there. And obviously, he booms the game-winning kick. The reason the Saints win is probably on Lutz's foot here. So, to me, Good job by Lutz, able to hit the field goal. That's why that they really get that A-minus grade. I think Sean Payton did a fine job coaching. I think he outcoached O'Brien in many facets of the game. I think Dennis Allen did have a good game coaching up to that final drive, which just perplexes me because he had really some really nice stunts he called and some really nice creative ways to kind of cover that three-tech spot that the Saints were obviously thin at. He put Davenport there a few times. So overall, that was really big there. So when looking at this, that group, I think they played fine. Deontay Harris did have a few mistakes with a fair catch. He called a fair catch and he still ran, which is just like these little things. But to me, he had more positives than minuses coming out of this game than negatives, I really should say, coming out of this game. So I thought that was fine. And then looking at it, I think Morstead had that kick from like, he started at like the 30 and then he just boomed it. I think it was a 55-yarder and he got it inside their like two. And I know it didn't matter. They drove right down the field. But those types of plays matter to me. And I think that was just really big. They ended up punting on the drive, but to me, that they were able to get to like midfield or something, and then they were pushed back a few times, a sack by Hendrickson. So that's really what it was, a really nice pump by Morstead, and I think that was really, really big. But overall finals kind of looks of this game, it was a heart stopper, would have been a heartbreaker if it wasn't for the heroics of Breeze and Lutz and Ted Ginn. So overall, you'll take the win, you'll move forward, but still a lot of work to do. This game reminded me a lot of that Cleveland game. And also one more thing with special teams, CJ Gardner-Johnson making that penalty at the end of the game. I want to talk about this before we sign off here because I think it's important. The refs almost messed the Saints up again. So in the two-minute drill the Saints were running, there was a play, it was a 3rd and 17, Michael Thomas picks it up, and they review it because they didn't call it at first. And I think we all know, so I don't really want to go over it. But these refs, I mean, you got to be at this point, and this point in the NFL history with the Saints and the refs, that game had to be perfect, and it just wasn't. And it wasn't perfect, and it was in the Saints' way. It was not in the Saints' favor of winning this game, which is it's bad. It's bad for the NFL, number one, because you have Saints fans coming out in refs jerseys. So that wasn't good, especially for the NFL. So that's not good. And then they have two bad calls in this game. Not only did the 2-minute drill, and then the extra point to win this game here, that's not a roughing the kicker. Maybe it's a running into the kicker, which would have been on the kickoff. So a roughing the kicker, though, makes the re-kick, and that just can't happen. That lost the Saints the game. I think that would have been, be coming on here, probably talking to the refs, probably talking about Drew Brees' pick, and probably talking about this defense imploding on itself in the final drive. So Will Lutz saved us from all that. Brees saved us from all that. But overall, the refs, I think, are towing a fine line with the Saints fan base. And we all know that they cheated the Saints now. And then every bad call on the Saints that gets called during the season is going to get amplified because of that. So that, I think the refs should know that. So next game, just don't make those bad calls to the Saints. I just want a well-refed game. We all do. So I think coming in, that's really what it is there. But the Saints got the win. That's really all that matters here. Going into the next week, I thought the offense did play good enough to win this game. I thought the defense played good enough to win this game. So good enough that they did win the game. So it was a close margin, as I thought it was going to be a close game. But the Saints win it. So that's always good stuff. So with all that said, I think it's time to wrap up this podcast. If you enjoy what we're doing here at the Who Dat Discussion and haven't followed us on our various accounts, you can follow us on Twitter at the Who Dat Dis, on Instagram at Who Dat Discussion, and then also you could subscribe to anywhere you're listening to your podcast. That means iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, all that fun stuff there. So really great win, very happy. Obviously I was like the whole night last night, and when he made that kick, I just bursted out and just yelling because it was a lot. It was, you know, the blood pressure went up last night, so I think we all can agree on that. But overall, good win for the Saints to start the year off, and for the first time since 2013, the Saints are 1-0. So I think on note, we're gonna wrap it up. So with all that said, I want to say thank you, finish the deal, and who dat.